This is the St. Mary Ann Cope Parish Podcast. Thanks for joining us. St. Mary Ann Cope Parish is the community of Catholic believers from Lakeland and Solvay, New York, located in Syracuse. Our podcast is here to help encourage and edify you in your faith.
Discovering Christ and following Christ, so it's great to have Adam with us, giving his insight. He certainly puts a spin on it that he can relate to. As I recall last time, a lot of it surrounded his family life and some of the things that that occur in the Eichelberger household were very, very comical. So, but once again, our homeboy, Mr. Adam Eichelberger. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. How are you guys? I'm really excited to be here tonight. Can you guys do me one favor? Can you guys just, I don't know if you're like me, if you're a high five type person, but can you just quickly like say hi just to the people? I know you eat dinner and stuff, but maybe the people at the table next to you, can you just say hi to your neighbor really quick and wave at him, tell him hi, give him a high five? Okay, good. Now here's what I need you guys, this is part of the interactive portion of the evening. Do me a favor, can you complete this sentence? I'm gonna say something, I want you to finish it, okay? I'm gonna say something, I want you to finish it. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
On earth as it is in heaven.
Okay, so you guys are paying attention for at least 60 seconds every Sunday, that's good. What comes to mind when you hear that line? What do you hear when we say that out loud, when we make that public profession? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. I pointed the wrong way, did you catch that? Because for me, personally, I don't know if I ever really put that into practice in my own life. And I don't say this to condemn anybody else in the room because I want to just speak from my own experience to start. But one of the things I've always been really good at is showing up on Sunday. I'm really good at that. And I'm really good at following along with Mass. I read the readings, I listen to the homily, I know the prayers, and I can keep up. I think we can all say that we do that, right? Yeah. And then every time I have to make that profession, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven, I find myself lately realizing I'm really good at doing that for 50 minutes a week. I'm really good at for 50 minutes from either 8 until 8:50, or from 10 until 10:50, at trying to live out God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. The problem is there's a lot more minutes and hours in the week than 50 minutes. And I don't know, you guys have probably heard me say this before, but when it comes to bringing people into my faith, sharing my Catholic faith with other people, I do what everybody else in this room has done. Raise your hand if you have said this to somebody in the last year to 2 years. Do you want to come to Mass with me on Sunday? Would you meet me at Mass on Sunday? We've all said that, right? How many of you have said that sometime in your life you've said, hey, will you come with me to Mass on Sunday? I think everybody in this room can say that they've made that invitation. What's your batting average? Goose egg, right? And I'm not gonna try and toot my own horn. I consider myself an engaging person. I consider myself a persuasive individual. if you were wearing white gloves, I could sell you ketchup popsicles. And for some reason, when it comes to, hey, will you come with me to Mass on Sunday? I bat zero all the time. And I have been beating my head against the wall for 16 years of ministry about how to get people to show up on a Sunday. And I realized there's nothing I can say that's going to persuade someone enough to show up on a Sunday. And I heard somebody say it, and I don't know who it was. I know he was a priest, and I can't remember his name for the life of me. But he said, Jesus doesn't need any more used car salesmen. It's not my job to, it's not our job to sell someone a bill of goods when it comes to a relationship with God. Because they're gonna look at it at some point and they're gonna poke a hole in it. I can say everything, I can share my own experience. I feel like I had a very powerful and an intimate encounter with Jesus when I was 16 years old, when my life was a mess. And I've shared that story with hundreds, if not thousands, of people all over the place. And when it's a room like us, people respond. Because they've had a similar experience where they really encountered Jesus. But when I try and tell that to somebody who I'm trying to convince to come back to the faith or to come to the faith altogether, they're always ready to poke a hole in it. And I don't know why. Does that ever bother you? Doesn't it always bother you that, like, you know, this is so good. Why wouldn't you want this? And then I made a friend. His name's Robert. Have any of you guys ever met my friend Robert? So a lot of you probably haven't. Mike has, Tony's nodding, has said a couple people have met Robert. More often than not, on a lot of Sundays, I wind up finding myself at St. Cecilia's, at the St. Cecilia's location for Mass. And it's not because I prefer one building over another. I have kids, and believe it or not, on a Sunday morning, getting dressed for Mass is not super high on their priority list. They will come up with 1,000 reasons why there are other things that have to happen. Not that Mass isn't important, but the getting ready for Mass part. A perfect example, last week, we were trying to get ready, and all of a sudden, Gus and Maggie decided at 9 o'clock that they had to start playing a game of Candyland. And I'm telling you, they would not stop until the game was done. Which means at 9:45, I'm wrangling them and they're screaming. I swear somebody was going to call Child Protective Services on me. My neighbors are probably wondering what is happening in my house. And all I'm doing is just begging them, like, please, can you just put on socks? Two socks. I don't even care if they match. Just put on two socks. We're constantly running a little bit late, so we're always pulling in right at 10 o'clock. And about 8-9 months ago, I noticed somebody at St. Cecilia I had never seen before. I'd never seen him there before. And my normal inclination on a Sunday morning is I am very kind of like laser focused, blinders on, head down. I'm trying to make sure that I can wrangle my kids to the point where they're not distracting Father during Mass. Now, I know that as a priest, of the years that he's been doing ministry, I know that there's nothing that we can do to phase him. But my kids are sure willing to try. And as many of you who are parents know, there is nothing, there is no worse feeling than in the middle of Mass for your child to do something that directly attracts the gaze of the celebrating priest. Like, for example, I don't know why, but for some reason, I try not let my kids bring like Hot Wheels into Mass, because Hot Wheels plus wooden pew equals a lot of noise. And at the right at the moment where, like, you know, like the first, like the second set of bells rings, you know, do this in memory, reap. Ding, 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 ding. The bells get set down and everyone's very quiet and attentive and trying to be pious and holy. All of a sudden, for some reason, one of them will just clunk, drop a car in the middle of the pew. And it's, and for some reason at that moment, it sounds like a bomb just went off. And we're just like, please, no, nobody look at me. So I'm super focused on making sure my kids are being attentive and not distracting. But I saw Robert, and I knew that there was something up. Like, I don't know why. There's been hundreds, if not thousands, of people on hundreds, if not thousands, I don't know about thousands, of Sundays that I've come across and I've never said anything to. But something, like Kate pointed out, like, hey, I've never seen him before. Have you seen him before? I said, no. So we talked to him after Mass. And he was a local guy. He lived right around the corner. And we just sat down and we got to have coffee with them and share a pastry and stuff. And I said, and he's, and, you know, he kind of shared with me, like, he wanted to try and find faith and make life better. And I said, yeah, dude, that's awesome. And I said, I really hope I do see you next week. And then I did the thing that I don't know why I did it, because I don't typically like just giving out my number to strangers. But I was like, hey, do you have a cell phone? Can I give you my number? He said, sure. And we exchanged phone numbers, and that was that. And I didn't see him the next week. I called him, and he didn't. I just kind of on a whim, I called him, and he didn't answer. But then the next week, I called him again, and he answered. He goes, hello. He was real, like, skeptical, because I have an out-of-state phone number still. We moved here from Arizona, so I still have an out-of-state phone. So everybody assumes that I'm a solicitor or a bill collector or a robocall. Like, I'm here to talk to you about your Microsoft license that's about to expire. And Robert answered, and I was like, hey, man, it's good to talk to you again. It's Adam from St. Mary and Cope. I was hoping we could maybe see you at Mass this week. And he said, okay, yeah. And he showed up. And he kept showing up. And the more I learned about Robert, the more I learned how much he really, really, truly wanted to be there, but he was so afraid of being in church. Not necessarily because of us, just in general, because of church. Because I'm sure that we all have a person in our lives that when we talk about faith and we talk about going to church or going to Mass, they'll say the same thing. If I were to step foot through that door, I'd light on fire. Or God would strike it with lightning and burn it to the ground. We all have that person in our lives who feels that way. And that's exactly how Robert felt. And Robert felt that way because Robert is a felon. He has spent time incarcerated, and he's sincerely trying to amend his life. And so what we just started doing is every Sunday, we go to lunch. I've never tried to teach Robert anything about doctrine or theology, never once. But we go to Dinosaur Barbecue. We'll go get a sandwich. And then I started noticing that every time we would go to lunch, he'd order food, and then he'd always take home the leftovers. He'd always have leftovers to take home. And so I kind of talked to him about it. I said, like, I'm like, you know, is everything okay? And he shared with me about his, you know, his finances and his situation. And I was like, oh, wow, this guy's hungry. You know, when Jesus asks us to serve the poor and serve the needy, we have a preconceived notion, an image that we have conjured, that I have conjured, about who those needy people are. They're on a median in the middle of the road, or they're on a corner and they have a sign and they look, ugh, right? But that's not Robert. He doesn't have the best clothes, but he's dressed. And he's there and he wants to be around people. And all he wanted was somebody to acknowledge him and notice him and eat a meal with him. Now, week after week, for the last 3 weeks, almost daily, I'll get a text or a call from Robert. Hey man, when are we going to start me becoming Catholic? I said, you sure you want to do that? He goes, yeah, man, I want to be Catholic. And I'm telling you, Robert has been evangelized by any flavor of Christianity you can think of, and a whole lot of flavors that aren't Christianity. He told me he would go with his Mormon friends to Mormon services, and this is a direct quote, because the food afterwards was always so good. I don't blame you. If the lunch menu's good, I'd show up too. And one of the things that made me the most happy is that he has adamantly expressed a desire to be a Catholic. The only time we ever really talked to him about anything specifically Catholic is as he started coming to Mass on a more regular basis. Kate and I kind of picked up on the fact that he would go to communion. And as we know, that's a very personal and touchy thing for us as Catholics. We believe that Jesus is truly present in the Eucharist, and we believe that you should be a Catholic before you receive that. And so one time over lunch, we kind of talked to him about that, and you know, he voiced his objection to what we were saying, which is a reasonable one. He says, I know Jesus. He's in my heart. I'm a Christian. Why do I have to abstain from that? He didn't use the word abstain. But he says, why don't I get to do that like everybody else? And I said that because we really truly believe these things to be so important that we have to take time and pray about it and discern that and really make the commitment to this being a part of your life all the time. And you know what he said? He said, okay, I get that. And now he doesn't, because he's waiting, because he wants to make his first Holy Communion. I mean, he's made communion before, but I mean, like, he wants to wait until, you know, he really, truly desires to be Catholic. And the thing about this is, I didn't do something new or innovative. We didn't do something new or innovative to try and lead Robert into a relationship with Jesus. I just did what Jesus did. We just did what Jesus did. And I will be the first one to tell you that I will throw so many ideas and programs and all these types of methodologies at the wall, and none of it seems to stick. And for some reason, for the first time in 16 years, it started to stick. Because I saw someone who desired love, and I just decided that I wanted to love him like Jesus does. The beautiful thing about when Jesus calls people into friendship with himself is that he never says, get your life right, then you can be with me. He says, come be with me. Then he says, let's get your life right. I can't tell you how many times I tried and I tried and I tried and I just got stuck on theology and I got stuck on doctrine. But when I just decided to love people, all of a sudden people want to talk. People want to ask questions. People want to raise opinions. But the thing that worked best is that I have a friend. For me, the hardest thing about living in Syracuse, I've been living in Syracuse for almost 4 years now. The hardest thing about being in Syracuse for me is developing friendships. I don't know why. I talk to people for a living. I'm a fairly outgoing person, but making friendships has been hard for me. And I'm just glad that I got to develop that friendship with Robert. And the beautiful thing about friendship is biblical. It says in Scripture, I no longer call you slaves, but I call you my friends. Without the love that Jesus pours out into us, we are as slaves in the eyes of God. That's what it says. But it says in Scripture that when he looks on us with Christ in our hearts, he does no longer see us that way, but he sees Jesus himself. And that's the hardest thing for me to do. It's so hard for me to look at other people and see Jesus. It's so easy for me to look at other people and see all of their flaws and all of their mess. But I always have to remind myself that when he looks at me, he doesn't see my flaws and my mess. He sees his only begotten son. He sees the object of his affection. And if he's going to look at me like that, then I'm going to do my best to look at everyone else like that. So the question is, what do we do, right? How do we do this? And it involves being super duper uncomfortable. It really does. Because what's going to happen is when we go to heaven at the end of our lives and we stand before God and he takes an account for all of our lives, he's not going to care how nice our church building looked. He's not going to care about all of the money that we raised. He's going to care about what does he say. He says, whatever you did to the least of these, you did to me. And evangelization at its core is us doing to the least of these what we should do no matter the cost. It was really, really difficult for me to look past all of Robert's flaws and be in relationship with him. It's hard. I'm sure you could all agree that if you met somebody who came from a similar situation, that you would have hesitation about that, wouldn't you? But what I met was a beautiful soul who loved God and loved people. Today, the reason why I came in like right as ice cream was being served is because Robert, who was homeless for a while, finally got himself into stable housing. But he doesn't have anywhere to do laundry. And for him to go down to, what's the name of the laundromat? Colonial? And he shared with me about how the money that he gets to help him stay afloat because he's disabled, when it costs him $20 to do laundry, that's the decision between does he have clean clothing to wear or does he have food in his belly? So the reason why I was late was Robert was doing 5 loads of laundry at my house. I had a doctor's appointment this morning, and after my doctor's appointment, I picked up Robert and we did nothing but laundry all day. He's my brother. And when my kids got off the school bus today and they came in my house and they came up the stairs and they saw Robert, the first thing they did was they freaked the geek out. They threw their backpacks off and they didn't clean up like they were supposed to. And they ran over and they were hugging Robert and they were talking with him. And then Maggie went and got a game of Connect Four and she started playing Connect Four with Robert and they were on the floor and they were giggling and laughing. And I'm telling you from the bottom of my heart that the most effective tool of evangelization is a 4-year-old playing Connect Four on the carpet with an ex-felon. Because while I was helping him fold his clothes, he told me that for the first time in his whole life, he felt like somebody actually loved him. And that nobody was trying to get something out of him or use him for something, but that somebody actually loved him. He's a 37-year-old man, and he's never been told he was loved. And at that moment, I was filled with joy, but I was filled with pain and regret because I saw him there before. And it kills me that he sat among me. He sat near me in front of my God, and he felt like nobody loved him. And I'm thankful that he's loved. And I'm thankful that he desires to be a Catholic. And the fact of the matter is, we have to start knocking down the things that divide us for the sake of people who desperately need the love of Jesus. Nothing else will do. We need to be willing to be uncomfortable We need to be willing to stretch ourselves. We need to be willing to separate from the things that keep us comfortable. I'm going to share with you that being Robert's friend is not cheap. It's not. I will say this. He has never tried to borrow money from me. But I can't see him not eat. I can't see him in filthy clothes. So we eat a lot. And I'll leave him with 20 bucks where I can. His phone was stolen from him. His one line of communication that keeps him connected to his doctor's appointments and his psychologist appointments and making sure that he can talk with his probation officer. So I got him a phone. That wasn't cheap. But I've had hundreds, if not thousands, of teens get confirmed, and a handful of them have gone on to be priests and sisters. But there's a great many of them that never darkened the door of a church again. But because I was willing to eat ribs with somebody and let him wash his dirty clothes in my laundry room, I know that he has a relationship with Jesus that will last. And it is uncomfortable. But it is so worth it. And the reason why this works, the reason why friendship works to evangelize people is because God himself is in relationship with himself. One of the core doctrines of being a Christian is that God is what? God is Trinity, right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God himself, when he speaks at the beginning of Scripture, when he forms us, he says, let us form them in our likeness and image. When we hear God speak, we hear about the relationship that he is in, the truest, most loving relationship that ever will be. If friendship is good enough for God, it's good enough for me. The question is, who are we willing to stop looking past? I'm not saying stop inviting people to Mass. Do it. Invite them. Keep inviting them. I'm going to keep inviting them. And I'm hoping that one day I'm going to just like get like a ground out to first with one. I'm not saying don't promote the things that we do as a parish. Do it. They're powerful. But for us to truly share our Christian faith with others, we need to be willing to be in relationship with others. And it doesn't have to be everyone. It just has to be one. Do you remember not that long ago what we heard in the gospel? That if a shepherd were to have 100 sheep and one of them were to go astray, would he not leave the 99 and go to find the one? Or what widow, having 10 coins and losing one, would not light the lamps and turn over her house and clean and seek the lost? And when she found it, would she not rejoice? Or when the son who has gone astray and wasted his life on a life of dissipation, when he returns to the father's house, was a cloak not put around him and a ring put on his finger and shoes on his feet and the fattened calf was slaughtered for him? Be willing in your life to put your ring on someone's finger. Be willing in your life to slaughter your fatted calf for someone else. There's a song by a band, I don't know if you guys ever, I'm going to land the plane, I promise. There's a song by a band called Mumford & Sons. And there's a great line in the chorus that says, where you invest your love, you invest your life. Our job is to invest our love and our lives into others. That is how we evangelize. Because when we invest our loves and our lives into others, all of this, all of the beauty and truth behind the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church makes so much more sense. It's not because we're trying to make it easy to swallow or palatable. It's not because we're trying to make it cool or relevant. We do this with love because that's what Jesus did. We do this with friendship because that's what Jesus does. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on the St. Mary Ann Cope Parish Podcast. If you have questions about St. Mary Ann Cope Parish, our locations, or any of our ministries, visit us online at stmaryanncope.org.